What the Tech is brought to you by Text Expander. Text Expander helps you communicate smarter. Visit textexpander.com/podcast for 20% off your first year. Hey everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarian. Of course, I'm joined by Mr. Paul Theriot. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good.
How are you? Good. I'm so glad. I'm so glad today you're pretty good. Yeah. I'm good here. Hanging in, you know?
Better than I deserve, Andrew. That's how I'm doing.
Last week, we got a lot of positive feedback on the show. A lot of people are very interested in our take on the Surface, which I'm not going to concentrate on heavily, the Surface Duo. But the post show that we did, What the Talk, yep. I believe we released it on the RSS, and people were very fascinated by my the story of my house. People very much enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I had names sent to me throughout the entire week of who could have been living across the street from me that worked on the Manhattan Project. If you haven't listened to that What the Talk, I recommend you guys do. And none of them, unfortunately, were the guy. There was one guy that was very close because he went to Queens College, but it wasn't him. So I reached out to my neighbor. I found his email address that I had, and I emailed him. I'm waiting to hear back. So the mystery will be solved. But outside of that, a lot of stuff going on. Samsung released a new Fold phone, an updated version of it, of the Galaxy Z Fold 2. I want to talk about that, and I want to kind of go into how this is going to play a part in sales for Microsoft. They're both going to be on the market around the same time, so that's going to be interesting. But before we continue, obviously, I want to let everybody know, you want to support Paul, go to Theriot.com, sign up for the premium service, a great website, great blogs, great great articles that are premium exclusive that we kind of touch on here on the show. One of my favorite websites to go to in the morning to get my tech news without the BS. That's what I always like to say about the website. You could upgrade to a premium account. Very easy. Go there. You could sign up for the Raw premium account and get you know, all the benefits of getting all this exclusive content on there. It's $55 annually, $7 a month. You could cancel at any time with that monthly fee. Highly recommend it. Theriot.com. Sign up for premium, of course. And if you want to support the show, you could do so by going to Patreon. Patreon.com/whatthetech. You can go there and fund us as little as $1 per episode. And it helps us chugging along here and really helps out doing these extra bonus shows, which you guys saw last week. So, Paul, I want to start off with the Samsung announcement. Actually, there's a couple things, a couple announcements, actually, that I want to go into. But definitely the Samsung foldable phone. Again, an updated one here. Seems like a lot of the bugs from the first one are out, but where does it stand? What do you think?
I got to say, if you go back a year, we had a conversation about the first Fold. You know, Huawei at the time had their folding phone that was coming out. I'm sure what I did was I acknowledged that this is something for the future, but there's a problem with the reliability and, you know, kind of wait and see. I'm not going to spend $2,000 on a phone. There's no way. But I don't know if you watched this announcement video, but I thought it was really impressive. And with the two big caveats, we don't know what the reliability is going to be of the screen.
No, which that was a big problem, right?
It was a huge problem last year. But you know, look, you can go to YouTube. There are some reviewers who are like, look, I've been using this thing since last year. It's fine. I've never had any problems. And now there's a new version. It's supposed to be even better. Okay. And then the cost, you know, it's expensive. But if you look at it, I guess another way, like a Samsung flagship this year is about $1,300 to $1,400. An iPad costs about $500-$600 is $2,000.
Yeah.
So there's your price. I mean, you know, if that's what you need, you know, something that replaces those two devices. Beyond that, I would say it's all really, really good news. And they have made so many improvements so dramatically. And they've showed amazing use cases for having a folding screen, especially one that can kind of sit upright arbitrarily at any angle. And the problem for Microsoft with Surface Duo is, well, it's many fold. But I mean, the problem, pardon the pun, but the problem specifically in the wake of this Fold 2 announcement is, the only, Microsoft only has one thing that it talks about. It's like this thing can run two apps at the same time. And there are certain productivity benefits of doing that. And yeah, okay, maybe there are. But this Samsung does that too. And then it does this laundry list of other things that the Microsoft device doesn't do or doesn't do well.
But here's the thing, right? This is a second-gen device hitting the market.
Right, right.
Microsoft is a first-gen device, and we really don't know what the issues or possible no issues, right?
Well, but we do know some of them. We know the camera's going to be terrible. We know that it's a really wide device when folded that's not going to fit in most pockets. And, you know, look, everyone's open to maybe there's this new form factor coming, whatever. The more I think about it, though, I think this kind of, I'm going to call it a hybrid phone because I don't know, you know, a folding phone, a phone with two screens, you know, whatever you want to call it. I really feel now that I've watched the Samsung thing that this is the future of the smartphone. This isn't so much a new form factor as it is the next phablet. You know, like the phablet kind of took over for smartphones. There was a short period of time where these phones were considered ludicrous because their displays were so big. And now that's the norm. You know, companies sell more big screen phones than they do small screen phones.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the next step. And the problem for Microsoft is that what Samsung showed off was something that's a really good phone. And then it does all this other stuff. And it's a really good mini tablet. And, you know, you can make a case because it's a kind of a tall and thin device. Thin, you know, side to side. It has a kind of a taller aspect ratio, even when the screen is open. Whereas the Microsoft one has kind of a wider aspect ratio, and you could make the argument that technically it's a little bit better for two productivity documents side by side. You have Excel and you have Word or something. You're copying, pasting, or dragging and dropping, whatever. And yeah, I mean, that's probably a little bit better. But like literally, that's where the list of advantages ends. And how often do you need that? How often is that tiny advantage so much of a big deal that all of the other things that the Samsung does way better are somehow outweighed? And I kind of didn't expect this. I mean, I think everyone understands like a folding display is technically more impressive than two displays with a hinge in the middle. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, roughly speaking, you're like, these things are kind of the same thing. But they're not, right? Because the Samsung device has two screens. One's on the outside, one's on the inside. They don't combine to make one sort of big screen. They're two separate screens. And you can use this thing like a normal phone, meaning, you know, single screen device, runs apps, it looks normal, it acts normal. But when you open it up, you get that kind of panorama effect. If you're reading or watching movies or playing a game or using maps or whatever it might be, it's just a much better experience. And I would just encourage people to watch this event, the Unpack 2 event. And I didn't expect to be impressed by it. I don't know how else to say it. Like I thought I had kind of had a handle on what I was going to see, and I was surprised.
So a couple of things here, right? One thing that I unanimously came across from the people that commented regarding regarding our coverage of this and our takes on this. Unanimously, almost every single one of them did not care about a phone. Care about the camera aspect of this device for the Duo.
Sorry to interrupt, but just real quick. But of course, because how else could you defend this Duo unless this is not an issue for you? Because you and I both know
somebody else. Like,
number one selling point of any flagship phone is the camera. Period. So, you know, you can have people coming in, like, I don't care about the camera. Well, you know, good for you. That's great. Well, there's a Duo. You can, if you don't care about the camera, like if you literally care so little about the camera that a crappy camera is all you want, then you can buy a Duo because the camera is going to be really crappy.
Well, I think it's targeting a very niche specific group. And
yeah, that's my point. And what you heard from was that group.
Was that group. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
And even with Microsoft's marketing, they're not really pushing this as a phone. They're not telling you that this is replacing an iPhone. This is replacing your Android phone in their marketing. And that means that they know something, right? And I got a little bit of crap for saying this is a secondary. This is a companion device. This is not a replacement for the phone. The people that are buying this are buying it in addition. I think if a company's deploying this, and I don't know what company's going to deploy this phone.
You'd have to be insane to deploy this thing now. No one's even seen it. You know, that's crazy. But anyway,
but we know that the Samsung Galaxy, the Z Fold 2, that mm-hmm. is a phone. It's your phone replacement.
It's this a great phone, right? Right.
You know, there is a place for this. You know, I was thinking about, you know, who's this device targeting? We're at the point that you're merging this device. You don't need a tablet, right? Let's say Apple were to come up with a device. Or how about this? Let's say, let's just
By the way,
out
this
there.
Speaks to why Apple won't.
It speaks to why Apple
they
won't.
They want you to buy two devices, right?
They do.
You know, when you're a hammer?
Yeah.
I mean, Apple's not at the point where replacing a device makes any sense. You know, the iPad was introduced as a third device, right? It wasn't the device that could replace something. It was, what if there was room in the market for another device?
That's the Apple approach. But what would happen if Apple released, you know, they put a, you can make phone calls on your, I mean, I guess you can through FaceTime, but let's say it became your cell phone, you know, if your iPad now became your cell phone, how would that impact the market? Would people choose, would this be a popular decision to make that your iPad is now your phone?
You get into all these kind of weird conversations with people because you're always going to find someone who loves this thing over at the far end of the scale. And then you're going to hear from the next guy who says, oh, no, it's way over here. You know, so when I talk about something like the Pixel 4a and I'm like, this thing's just too damn small, you know, for me, I always hear, well, I don't know why you say that. I think this thing's the perfect size. Well, okay, that's fine. But you're you. I'm just saying for me, it's too small. So, but, you know, something interesting, like if you think about like a Pixel 4a and like how small it is, imagine there were two of them and they were hinged together. And when you opened it, it was one big screen. Well, now you got this thin thing, not thin. It's a little thicker because it's two of them, but it's still small. And a slightly thick, small thing would fit in your pocket. It's easy to carry. If you pulled it out, I'm describing like a small version of the Flip 2, really, right? So you look at it, you know, it's like maybe it's not optimal because I'm older and my eyes are bad and I wish the screen was bigger, but it's okay. It works. It's a phone. But then you open the thing up and it's like this giant screen. And it's like a mini tablet. That's beautiful. That solves all the problems. Like there is a, this thing solved, these things, I shouldn't say this thing. I mean, this kind of device, a foldable phone of whatever kind, can solve some problems. The issue with the Microsoft device is just that they optimized for the wrong things. And I think if you're creating a new form factor is tricky and doesn't happen very often. And there's no way they're doing it with this device because the Samsung Fold exists, because the Huawei, whatever that thing's called, exists. And there are other people, you know, other companies making these too. Because those devices are designed by companies that have made phones, you know, recently. And they know what people want. And they know they can't compromise on all the things that are great about phones. But if it can do something extra, if it does have advantages, like, you know, obviously the bigger display, then people might pay more for that phone. And that's reasonable. Like, that's a good product. The issue, the problem I've always had with the Microsoft thing from the day they announced it when I was in the audience to everything they've said about it since is they've never once come out with anything where they said, this is why it's better. Like, it's not like, look, here's all the stuff everyone loves to do. We do that. It does this too. They can't say that because there's a bunch of stuff that the other things do that the Duo cannot do or does poorly. That's a huge problem for Microsoft.
So is this a... at this point, because it is a fascinating, I mean, the reaction to this device has been fascinating. It's very similar to what happened with the Surface, right? When they released, Windows Phone. When Windows Phone came out, it's the same core reaction that I'm seeing from people that we're going to ignore the shortcomings and really concentrate on the fact that it's a Microsoft product.
That kind of thinking, I don't like, I'm not.
I'm not saying every comment.
Guy. Yeah. No, but you get. Of course, I hear from every one of these people, Andrew. This is my audience, you know. But I don't like to go into this kind of thing like as some super partisan. It's great because it's made by Microsoft. You know, Microsoft makes headphones now. Why would anyone buy a Microsoft headphone? Like, that's crazy. Do they have some rich history of audio excellence? You know that there are companies like Sony and Bose and, you know, and dozens of others that make headphones. I mean, wouldn't you tend toward those if you were in that market? So, you know, for this kind of thing, Microsoft, look, Microsoft is the productivity company. Yep, absolutely. We have great devices to be productive on today, whether it's a Mac or a Windows computer, even a Chromebook, you know, whatever. And those form factors are kind of well understood, and they're, you know, legacy traditional machines. Fine. People are using phones more and more, way more than they use PCs. So from Microsoft's perspective, they put apps on the phones and blah, blah, blah. And did they really have this conversation like inside of Microsoft where they were like, we need another form factor. We need something in between these two things. That's not going to come from Microsoft.
I think there is a future for Microsoft. I honestly believe that there is a future for Microsoft to put out a Surface phone, a traditional phone that marks all the flagship, the flagship presence that an iPhone would have or a Samsung would have.
By the way, Andrew, I don't think they can. I really don't.
Do you think they can't because of market, or do you think they just internally can't figure it out?
Are you familiar with, of course, I know you're familiar. Everyone's familiar with the company OnePlus, right?
No clue. This
is a company that only makes phones. That's all they do. Every year they historically have come up with one flagship phone. The past couple of years, they've come up with two. This year, they're coming up with three, but whatever. This is their shtick. They make phones. They make awesome phones. They make highly optimized phones, incredible community of users. These things are all like driven by feedback. They're awesome. Except for one thing, the camera. The camera on these things has never risen above acceptable. Like, they're not great. And if OnePlus, which has been plying away at this thing for years, can't figure out smartphone cameras, I refuse to believe that Microsoft is just going to show up one day and figure it out. That's not their expertise. There are companies now making folding devices, and there will be more in the future, and Microsoft is working with them to make sure that their apps run properly on those devices. If you're a Microsoft guy, pay attention to the Samsung thing I just mentioned, because they play a big role in that keynote, because all the things that are on Duo are also on this thing too.
I'll tell you something, though.
Why bother?
Microsoft did the last, I want to say, 7 years. Microsoft mm-hmm. really was, in my opinion, one of the, outside of Apple, right? One of the driving forces for these OEMs to get their crap together and start making devices that are truly premium. And Microsoft started rolling that out with, you know, the signature line where it didn't have all the on them. You know, they kind of guided it with the Surface where you had this, you know, two-in-one style laptop that changed how convertible, you know, before that it was a convertible laptop, and now you have this tablet-esque laptop that's become popular. Yeah. Microsoft was able to do that on that side. I believe that they can do it on the phone side. When you saw,
Microsoft has low single-digit market share in the PC space. What are you talking about? I don't even know.
Their influence changed the game. My point is,
I don't know. I'll tell you, if you talk to the folks that make ThinkPads. Some of the guys from HP who make the premium HP computers. You talk to the guys from Dell. I've got a Dell XPS 15 I'm going to review soon. If you ask them, hey, you guys were making crap before, but now you're making really nice stuff. Is that because of Microsoft? They would laugh in your face. Those guys have been making great computers forever.
Do you think it was Apple?
Yeah, was the XPS 13 influenced by somebody? You know, like you have a LeetBook 1040 or whatever it is, a 1030.
I have a couple.
You know that form factor is way more versatile than a tablet.
100%.
You know?
Yeah, 100%.
Right? I mean, so that computer, Microsoft does not make one of those. Yeah. You know? I think Microsoft is a little too caught up in trying to be like Apple. And they misunderstand what being like Apple means when you're not Apple. So I really like Surface PCs, most of them, but they do things that are goofy, and it kind of shows they don't understand the market. Like, they'll release a Surface laptop that only has a single USB port. I know the new one actually is too.
Yes, yes.
They kind of bite themselves in the face, because it's like they don't understand why things work for Apple and why things can't work for them. You know, I have an HP Envy here. It has legacy ports all over it. It's got all kinds of ports. It's wonderful. It's usable. It's fantastic. And that's much rather use that than a Surface laptop, as beautiful as a Surface laptop is. But anyway, I guess to the point was, I guess the only point I'm trying to make is with regards to Microsoft and hardware is phones are too important a part of normal people's lives for Microsoft to be able to jump into that market and make a dent.
So is that why they made such a niche product?
With phone?
With a phone, technically.
With the Windows phone? Yeah. Or you mean with the Surface Duo?
With the Surface Duo, yeah. With the Surface Duo. Is that... I think they truly thought they could compete with Windows Phone. They would not have invested that much time and effort.
Right. Oh, they absolutely did. Billions. Yeah. And they absolutely did. And there's all kinds of reasons why that didn't work out, but they had some good ideas. There's no doubt about it. But no, I think the reason that Surface Duo exists is that the people that run Surface get really caught up in their own image, even though a lot of it is nonsense, where they invent new form factors and the industry follows. And it's gotten ahead of them a little bit because they're releasing a 2-display device at a time when folding display devices work. And
it's as expensive.
And it just doesn't make any sense. Yeah. It's like the car has come out and you've invented a new kind of a horse. You know, it's like, look, if you put 2 horses next to each other, it's just as good as a car. It seats 4 people. You know,
this is just... And I'm not saying this because I use Apple products, right? I'm saying this because the market has dictated that this is the trend. In about 2 years, yeah, Apple is going to wait to sit on this. And in about 2-3 years, when they realize that their tablet sales are drying up and their iPhone sales have matured to the point that this is their projection, they're going to release this. They're going to release a foldable iPad style phone that's going to be astronomical in cost. It's going to be $2,100, $2,200. And you know what's going to happen? Everybody's going to get this thing, and the reviews are going to be through the freaking roof.
Well, that's the Apple way, right? So they sit in the corner, they lurk, they wait until everything's exactly the way they want it, and they release it late, and everyone's like, what took so long? And then they use it like, holy crap, this thing's
really nice. That's not what they say. That's not what they're going to say. They're going to say, oh my God, look, this is revolutionary. Nobody's done this before.
Yeah, they invented it. Why didn't anyone do this before? Well, look, I mean, this time Samsung is the market leader. They've been pushing this stuff pretty aggressively. I don't know. Microsoft has such a great role to provide in mobile with their apps and services. And I like their PC designs. I do. But, you know, I feel like they've gone off the rails a little bit. I mean, there's only one form factor that was ever successful for them, and that's the Pro tablet form factor. They've copied it. They've just made five or six iterations of it. They've released 2 subcategories of it with Surface 3 and then with Surface Go. And they're so eager. They're so wrapped up in like, we invent form factors, you know, and it's like, that's not really what you do. It's not what you do.
I'll tell you, though, you know what's a great device? Surface laptop. I absolutely love that device. I love the look. I love the feel of it. This is a complete product. Mm-hmm. This appeals to me.
Yeah, it's nice.
100% appeals to me. 13.5-inch display, 15-inch display, touchscreen. It's a beautiful laptop. But, you know, maybe they were 3 years too late with this device.
Well, it's notable that Microsoft didn't ship a laptop until several years into the Surface thing, right? So everyone has a laptop is the most basic device, right? Well, I think because they understood, like, this would be seen as a Me Too device. It's an MacBook Air ripoff, you know, blah, 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 whatever. And, yeah, it is. But you know what? There is a place in the market for a MacBook Air has a 3x2 screen, you know, that the Surface experience, which is kind of in this case, they didn't go with magnesium, so it's not really the materials, but they did the Alcantara thing, which, you know, kind of, I think we can all agree no one really liked that too much, but you're kind of trying to do something unique. Surface devices, especially the newer several years, have had really great typing and touchpad experiences. And that's good. And they, you know, in their whole Apple Envy thing, minimal ports, you know, blah, 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 whatever, but different colors. It's a pretty device, but no one buys these things, Andrew. This is the problem. Like, unfortunately, if you look at the usage figures, the only Surface devices that sell are Pros, and they don't sell very much. And
Here's the thing. Can Microsoft create a PC where it'll sell, successfully? Measure success by the way, a top seller?
No, probably no. Because what they suffer from is the inability to get the kind of volume pricing that like an HP, a Dell, or Lenovo can get And by the way, that's an even worse problem in the phone market. You know, Surface Duo ships with a processor that was at the beginning of last year, the high-end processor. You realize it's now four generations old, technically, because there was an A55 Plus, there was an A65, there was an A65 Plus since then. Doesn't have a lot of RAM, doesn't have a great camera, doesn't have NFC, it's not waterproof or, you know, dust resistant or any of that stuff. I mean, it's quirky. You know, it's not even 3x2, but I think maybe when the screens are open, it must be 3x2 or something like that, but yeah. It's more of a square kind of a look to it. Which, yeah, you know, is absolutely interesting. The Microsoft is very taken with their hinges. But by the way, so is Samsung. I mean, Samsung hides an incredible hinge under the Fold 2. You don't see it for the most part, but it allows that thing to sit at different angles, you know, and they have all these software features that work with that. You can use the camera, and because there are two screens, when you're taking a picture of someone, they can see what they're going to look like in the picture and move accordingly to be framed better. They can, you know, there's all this stuff you just get that Microsoft is not even in the ballpark.
Here's a question for you in the chat. And obviously we don't have a rough number on this, but is there any kind of projection as to how many they need to sell? How many Duos need to sell for it to be considered a success?
No.
Or is it just market perception? Is it just the perception that the device is cool?
You know what? I had a conversation with a guy who really high up at Microsoft last year after the event at which they kind of pre-announced this device, as well as Surface Neo, remember, which has been delayed, and then whatever the new Surface computers were at the time. And I kind of razzed him a little bit. I'm like, oh, you guys are getting back in the phone market or whatever. And he said, let me ask you a question. He said, if we could make a phone business work, but it was small, but it was profitable, I mean, would that be okay? And the answer is, yeah, of course. You know, one of the problems with Xbox and Surface is that those businesses are not profitable, but there's an economics of scale that comes with phones. Plus they're not exactly using high end parts. They're trying to save money in certain ways. If this thing sold poorly, but was profitable, yeah, who cares? And if you're a fan of this device, or if you're a fan of Surface, which by the way, I am, I mean, that means it will live to be improved in future generations, you know? And sometimes that's what it takes. I think that's the part that gets lost. I know I sound really critical of this device, but I point to things like HoloLens as an example of something where they didn't really explain very well why anyone would want this. But then in the year after it was first released, some vertical use cases came up. And when they revved it for V2, they made sure to accommodate the complaints and make it better for those verticals. And now the HoloLens seems to kind of make sense economically for them or whatever. You know, someone in my comments mentioned, well, you know, Apple Watch was like this too. And it's a good point. You know, Apple Watch, when it came out, remember, was going to be like a luxury accessory. That was kind of literally the point. It was like, how much could you spend on this thing? Remember, they had like a high-end version that was like over 10 grand or something. And what they found was, hey, surprise, you know, people are really using this for only a couple of things. But the big one is fitness tracking. So they really doubled down on the health stuff. And now that's the primary use case on the Apple Watch. And it kind of got a new life because of something that its maker didn't intend originally, you know? And so, yeah, this could happen to Duo. You know, like I look at this and I think the ability to run Word in Excel side by side at kind of an acceptable width on a small device, I don't think that's particularly compelling. Who cares? That's not what I do on a phone. I don't care about that. But someone out there, someones maybe, will find use cases where, like, this makes a lot of sense. And that might inform what Microsoft does for V2. So you hope there's a V2. And, you know,
this is a company that spent $26 billion on LinkedIn, you know?
Yeah, and has a lot to show for it.
It is interesting. I'm curious how this works out. Another thing here, Intel, this is interesting. Intel debuted their 11th-gen processors. A new logo. Intel now has a new logo. Modernized.
Exciting.
Yep. Very exciting.
I think they have a new jingle, too. I haven't heard it yet. But
it's not the
bum, 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 bum. Yeah, no, I guess they changed it.
So like the previous generation, the Tiger Lake chips are built on Intel's 10 nanometer manufacturing. Man, they're so behind, huh?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no. I mean, the one thing that should be obvious to anyone is that if you care about computers, use computers. Modern Intel-based computers, whether they're HPs or Microsofts or whoever makes them, Dell, Lenovo, whatever, they're kind of awesome, aren't they? I mean, like, yeah, I mean, it'd be better for power management. Probably just power management. It would be better for a lot of things if they were like smaller manufacturing process, because smaller die size, less heat generates, you can have thinner form factors, et cetera, et cetera. Like that stuff's, you know, that's all good. But when I look at the luxury of the premium computers that you can buy today, I mean, they're kind of awesome. So, and they get great battery life, the power's there. I mean, like whatever, it's fine. I mean, eventually Intel will get down to 7 and that will be a great day. But yeah. At 10 nanometers, they're pretty good.
They're saying that their 10 nanometer compared to other companies' 10 nanometer chipsets, they're faster and they use less power. So they're trying to justify and say, listen, it's kind of equivalent to the 7 nanometer design, but
it's
the big
not.
Question is going to be when we go so, to... I know.
It's not.
So the big, it's but not. Here's the thing. When these companies are close, I mean, next 18 yeah. months, we're going to see 5 and 3 nanometer chips.
That's right. That's exactly
being
right.
out there. Where's Intel going to sit there? They can't hang on to that. Ours are as fast and yeah. as power efficient.
Well, they've already opened the possibility that they would work with a third-party fab to get to 7 nanometer if that was required or to help them do it, right? So there's that possibility. I think next year is going to be when the stuff hits the fan on that note. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, the problem for Intel is, like, by the way, when you say, you know, and I've heard this argument, you know, Intel's 10 nanometer manufacturing process is more efficient than other companies. And let's just accept that at face value. Maybe that's completely true. The problem is they've moved on to 7. Like they're not thinking about 10 yeah. anymore. So yeah, that's cute. But it's like we have been stuck on the horse and buggy for so long. We have now made the most efficient horse and buggy ever made. Yeah, great. But yeah. everyone else is making flying cars. You know, but like you said, I mean, it's not just 7 you have to worry about. It's 5 and then 3. And that's what's going to happen to them. You know, this is why I kind of worry about Intel long term, because their inability to get to this point, by the way, has at least triggered an emergency response of the company, right? So one thing I will say is past month or so, it's very clear that this company has finally woken up and seen the threat of what's happening.
Well, also, you know what happened with their 10th-gen chipsets, right?
What's that?
They had a big problem with distribution because of everything that happened throughout COVID. They were not able to get this in the hands of retailers, like way late. I think Amazon recently, and when I say recent, mm-hmm. a couple of weeks, so maybe a month or so, they just started having a stock of these 10th-gen chips from to have out there. This became a problem for them for manufacturing because everything got shut down. That possibly could be part of this. Also, Qualcomm with their Snapdragon chipsets for PCs. What is it? The 8CX Gen 2s. That thing is super impressive.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. But in theory, right? Like on paper,
yeah,
you're getting this on a way lower power consumption chipset than what you're able to get with Intel. Obviously, you're going to get some more with Intel, but where's the market dictating? Like ARM-based chips for Windows that do everything, that's essentially an all-in-one.
God, if they ever figure it out, Intel could be in for a world of hurt, because there are two big issues for ARM today, a couple of other issues, but obviously performance and then compatibility, especially X64. So they're working on both of these things, and they means Microsoft and Qualcomm. We'll see. I mean, but remember, the other side effect of that is, and the other possible outcome, and this is a good outcome, you know, like who cares as a user if we're using Qualcomm chips in the future, or Intel or AMD? Like, we don't really care. We shouldn't care about that kind of thing. What we should care is that we have awesome computers. They stay, alive on battery life for a long, long time. The performance and compatibility is there. So if these guys not inspire, but maybe threaten Intel so much that Intel finally gets its act together and starts delivering more efficient chipsets, right? In addition to more powerful chipsets, which, by the way, would require going to 7 nanometers, that's a good outcome too, right? So we'll see. I don't know. it's impossible to know how this is going to happen, but I feel like ARM is kind of inevitable, you know,
at the end of the day.
Yeah, and maybe in the PC space, because of legacy backward compatibility issues, maybe what that means is an Intel design that looks like an ARM design, you know, big and little cores, and maybe they kind of figured out that's a possibility, because, you know, you have to kind of decide what's more important. Like, yeah, I'd love to have a computer that was wafer thin, but pragmatically speaking, I need it to run the apps I have, you know, that's kind of job one. So that you could make a super thin computer that gets, you know, 25 hours of battery life is theoretically incredible, but it has to run the apps I use first, right? Like, that's the first thing.
You know what the gauge is going to be? How successful will Apple be with their chipsets moving forward?
I know.
Right?
I
like,
know.
Obviously, we're going to see it in a MacBook, right? That's the big story coming out that, you know, there's going to be a 12.5-inch MacBook with running their, you know, their Apple-based chipset.
Did you see, by the way, it's supposed to have a butterfly keyboard?
Ugh. Well, they can't. I mean, I know. What are they going
to
do?
Well, I mean, the argument there is, look, we meant this thing to be kind of a hybrid device. It's super thin. It's going to have passive cooling, I would imagine.
If they're able to do the last gen butterfly keyboard that they put on, okay, maybe they could get away with it.
How many gens were there of that keyboard? Do you know?
2006. Well, the MacBook was the first one, right? Then they put it in the 2016 MacBook.
It was in the
Pro,
at least two gens in the Pros, and the MacBook Air, the new one.
And then
it might have been for
the new MacBook that I have. That's not Butterfly, right? The 2019 MacBook Pros.
16. No, that probably is the 16. Scissor switch. Yeah.
Yeah, it is scissor because they made it.
So you would know.
Thicker.
You would trust me.
I would know. You know what's so funny, Paul? I got that thing for work. I didn't buy it.
Yeah.
That thing was like $3,400. Okay. Oh, yeah. Something crazy. I got it for work, and I used it for like a very short period of time before COVID happened. So it's sitting at my desk in Midtown, in Manhattan.
Oh,
still,
the new one,
I don't have it. I have had like very little time with it. I'm still using this 2018 version of this. So they updated it once, I believe, or twice, that keyboard, and it still sucks. I got to tell you, it's not a good keyboard. Not a good keyboard at all. But
what are you going to compare it to? Like, compare it to a...
it's still better.
Those old type covers that we had on Surface, or, you know, I don't know, even the iPad, not the current one, but the old iPad Pro keyboard. I mean, you know, it's probably in the running in there. And maybe for a super thin, light, you know, kind of hybrid device, you can make a case for it. But yeah, I wouldn't want to. I don't want to go back to a butterfly keyboard personally.
But you know what? On a 12-inch,
That's what I mean. Like that. Right.
I don't know. I don't know how.
It may not matter.
It may not matter because it's something different and it's a very specific device. It's not a MacBook Pro. But however, here's going to be the big story, right? That 12-inch device will probably sell, it probably will sell very.
You're going to sell a million just from speculation from people who want to know what it's, you know, what's
going
on.
The big question is what happens when they go to the Pro line, when they go to a MacBook Pro and they say, okay, go buy Intel. Originally they had said they're going to run both Intel and they're going to give you the option, but you know, they may get better performance on their own chipset and that's the end. Why would anybody buy an Intel one?
I have a hard time believing that's going to happen Gen 1, but
no, definitely not Gen 1. Definitely not. I can't imagine. But
I do think they're going to be. Yeah, I think it's going to work. You know, that's the trick.
If it works,
be a MacBook Pro, you could make like, what if this thing was like 25% less performant than the Intel version, but it got 22 hours of battery life. You know,
depends
at some point, people
are
going to be like, you know what? Computers are fast enough. I'll take the battery life.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, right? That mentality is there now. Computers are the fast enough, it's good enough, exists tremendously in a PC market, where before it was all about the speed. You know, on the Apple side, you never hear about gigahertz anymore. Nobody knows what kind of chip they're running. It's just the way that the market is. It's not saying that, not that it's a positive.
Well, I mean, Apple hides that you're buying a Y series processor when you get a MacBook Air. They don't even talk about it. It's not even listed anywhere on their site, you know. And, you know, even on the Mac, there is a difference, believe me. But Yeah, you're right. By the way, I think this is finally starting to happen in phones too. You know, we just spent a bunch of time talking about phones that cost $1,300 to $2,000, but this year has seen a resurgence at the low end of the market. And so devices like the iPhone SE, which costs $400, the Pixel 4a, which is $350. There's a new Moto, I want to say G series, that's like a 4 or 6 camera array, like it, in the, you know, $400 to $500 range, whatever. There's a lot of good enough choices there too, you know. And I feel like as these products mature, unless you have very specific needs, you know, gamer, you know, developer, whatever. I mean, you kind of don't. Most people just don't need the crazy expensive high end version anymore.
Yeah, just how it is. It's very interesting. I'm very interested in this. So, a couple other things. Yep. You know, you brought up the iPhone SE, the iPhone, the Pixel 4a. Mm-hmm. I know a couple people. I got feedback that bought it, and they're blown away on how great this phone is.
I mean, look, nothing is literal, but you don't hear from people who are like, "Oh, I bought this thing and it's a piece of crap."
No,
like you just don't. That's not a story. No one ever says that. I have specific issues. Like I wish it had 2 cameras, you know, I wish it had, an XL form factor. I just happen to like slightly bigger phones, but using a Note 20 Ultra, which is I think a $1,300 phone, which is the size of a Buick, and is made of metal and glass and is as slippery as a bar of soap. And it's hard to use one handed, even though I have baseball mitt for a hand. I find myself thinking about the Pixel, a polycarbonate body, which I love. This kind of a minimalist.
I exactly. Vibe. That's why it. I like it.
I really like that.
But here's the other
thing. By the way, you know, I wish I could use the small screen better, but this thing's tiny, fits in your pocket. I bump everything up. It looks stupid.
It's a phone for me.
Yeah. No, it's probably a phone for most people. You know?
You know how many people I know personally that are still walking around with an iPhone 7? Seriously. No, I was joking, right? I wish I was joking, but I'm not. It's
okay.
On the iPhone side, I can't speak on the Android side, right? Because I'm using, I got a two gen old, Samsung Galaxy. But when you think about the common person, right? It was always for us. We always talk about the flagships. And for a lot of people, the iPhone was the flagship. It was just the iPhone. So every 2 years, you went in and you got the highest end model because that's what was available. Right. Your only choice was screen size. Either you got a big one or a small one. Now you have a plethora of options. And if it's just good enough for you, right? If you're not doing anything crazy on this thing, an SE, if you want a smaller form factor, is fine. If not, your older phone is perfectly fine. An iPhone 7, an iPhone 8 is good enough. It gets everything done. And it's fine.
The one thing that I felt like Google did correctly with the Pixel, and it's one of the only things, because honestly, they screwed up so much. But from day one, with the very first Pixel and moving forward until this year, actually, as they released these flagships, they always had a small one and a big one, you know? And they were the same phone. They were exactly the same. You didn't get like an extra camera thing on the big one. You didn't get any special features on the big one. Didn't get more RAM. Same phone. Just one has a bigger screen. And I always thought that was really smart because for most people, like you don't want to sacrifice stuff just because you prefer or need a smaller screen. Like you just want the same phone. Yeah. Apple for a long time did stuff where if you got the Pro or the Max version or whatever they were calling it, whatever year, you know, that was the one that had, like you said, the iPhone 7. So iPhone 7 was a single lens camera. iPhone 7 Pro had the double camera, remember?
Yeah.
Optical zoom and blah, 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 whatever. Portrait mode. Remember, he had to have two lenses to do portrait mode that year. What they've done in more recent years with like the iPhone 11 Pro and Pro Max is those are the same phones. Like one has a bigger screen, but the phones are the same. Of course, Apple, like you said, has more devices now. So I think if people have followed the rumors for what Apple's supposed to be doing with the iPhone 12, what it looks like they're going to do is have 4 phones, and one of them is going to be really small. But the really small one's going to have the same basic form factor as the bigger ones, meaning that kind of iPhone 4 Leica style, you know, metal band around the outside. It will have a notch. But these things should basically all be the same design, just different screen sizes. And I think that's cool too. Like because there's no reason not to accommodate everybody. Right.
Yeah.
And yes, you're going to get extra features when you move up to the pro devices. There's going to be a pro versus non-pro kind of delineation, but
well, they're doing that with everything, right? That's their whole lineup.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, everything is a pro version. Yep. I'm waiting for the pro watch. You know, that's the only thing that doesn't have a pro feature at this
point.
Yeah,
but see, to me, when you go from non-pro to pro, the thing that shouldn't change is the size of the screen, right? Like, I always felt like that was so – it was just wrong, like equating bigger with better. Bigger screen versus smaller screen is just a personal choice.
The American way.
No, but it's not – it's just not fair. You know, it doesn't make sense. Like, why can't – I don't, but I mean, like, one might prefer the smaller screen. I want the awesome camera. But I want the small screen. Why can't I have that? And I feel like we've kind of some companies have come around. Like Samsung doesn't do this. Samsung has a Note and a Note Ultra, and the Note Ultra has a different camera.
You know what's fascinating? We're gonna get a good idea of this in the next 6 months when you know, a lot of unemployment starts running out. A lot of people do not return back to work. Or they go back to work at a much reduced salary, which I know a lot of people have already done this. We haven't really seen the effects of the economic blowout from COVID yet. You know, there's been a lot of the stock market has been pumped up, fine, whatever. But just people have this false sense of security because they've been able to get that federal unemployment and the state unemployment. And maybe
it's all over now. So,
New York, for example, right? My brother's going to get another, I think, $300 federal unemployment on top of the five he's making. Five, six, seven, $800 a week is not bad money for a 25-year-old.
Yeah, but when they were doing 600, right? So, you know, you were getting 500, but you were getting an additional 600. I mean, at that level, your life is sustainable, but you also run into a weird issue where it's like, well, why would I work?
Why even try
to get a job? That. Like,
well, listen, you know, I totally get that. I totally get that. But you know what's going to happen when a lot of the unemployment starts running out now, officially runs out, and people are have that logic where they're saying, well, why would I go to work if I'm making $1,000 a week clean? Why would I go back to work to make 700? You know what's going to happen? Right. They're not going to have a job to go back to. Because it's not; these jobs aren't going to last. It's going to be a bad situation next year. It's far worse than we've seen. This was just the icing on the cake.
But with regards to devices like PCs or phones or whatever, I mean, I feel like
between March and spending that money.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So between March and June or whatever, I think there was there was absolutely like an uptick in the sales of these things, because I think there was a feeling like I need to get something good now while I can get it. And I'm working from home or whatever, and I need something to sustain me. But as this thing kind of continues, like now, you know, Samsung just released these new phones and has the flip thing, whatever it's called, the Fold coming out. And Apple's going to release a bunch of flagships next month or later this month or whatever it is. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, it's a tricky time to be launching a $1,300 phone, a $2,000 phone. $1,000+ iPhone, wherever Apple lands. I mean, this is, you know, that's why that's what makes devices like the Pixel 4a so compelling.
And this Apple's never felt this. Apple's never felt this because in 2009, when they released the iPhone, smartphones really weren't, when the economy, it still wasn't what it is today.
Well,
people weren't regularly going and purchasing a $1,400 phone every 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. So this is why the iPhone 12 is kind of particularly interesting to me, because I'm not personally impressed by the new iPhone SE. I think this is it's a 6-year-old design. It's I get that it isn't modern internals and everything, but I just couldn't. I mean, that thing is like, it's like looking at a phone from the past. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. But if they come out with a modern phone in the fall, this month, I guess, or next month, whatever it is, then we get into an interesting area, because if Apple, like, that phone probably won't be $400, but if we can pretend it's $400, I mean, you pay a $50 premium to get to Apple. I think that's worth it for a lot of people. And even if there are certain shortcomings compared to like a Pixel 4a or whatever, you know, like, whatever, fine. Like, it's still a lot more affordable than a $1,000 phone or a $1,200 phone or 13, you know, whatever it might, whatever the other iPhones are. So at least it's there. You know, you don't have to feel I don't know, like you're poor and you can't afford anything nice. And we're going to remind you of that every day because you're going to have a crappy phone, you know?
Yeah.
It just, it, well, I don't know.
That, you know, shame on you feels, for being responsible. Yeah,
idiot.
Financially.
Yeah, exactly. Shouldn't have lost your job if you wanted a good phone.
Yeah.
That's tough.
We're going to see this. Listen, everybody's like, well, we got to look at the fourth quarter sales. I think fourth quarter sales is going to have this unnatural comfort with people's unemployment. Mm. And then reality is going to hit when a lot of your credit cards start coming in and you realize the math that you've done doesn't really make sense. And, sure. You know, all of 2021, do you need the new iPhone? Do you need a new laptop this year? No. And I think we're going to see the outcome of that. I don't know if that's going to dictate the pricing.
I could last for years and years on what I already have.
I used an iPhone 7 up until last year. I had it for 3 years. Didn't need a new one. I really didn't. And you know what? I got a second line here. I don't need a second line either.
Yeah.
This is just disposable income. I have a second line because I had this phone number my whole life. So I didn't want to eliminate it. So I have a second line now. A lot of these things, you know, you're going to think, well, why am I spending $70 a month on Google, on YouTube TV? Is that something I need?
You know, I was just looking at that. I don't know if we talked about this, but I wanted to get a TV so I could watch basketball and then eventually football, right? So I don't know if you have ever looked at this, but like if you want to watch the NBA playoffs, you have to have access to, I think it's 5 different channels. It might be 4 because they're on different. It's like TNT, ESPN, ABC, NBA TV. So maybe it's 4. But those 4 things, I thought it was 5, but let's say 4 things, are not on most of the TV services.
Yeah.
One of the only ones that all 4 are available on is YouTube TV, which is $65 a month. Like,
crazy. It's too expensive.
Less than that for the truncated season of Major League Baseball to watch every single game.
Yeah.
You know?
So here's the thing, Paul.
That's a lot of money.
2021,
for that, for
TV. People are making less, you know, $70 here. $60 here, $50 here. Next thing you know,
isn't that the first thing you cut?
Oh,
people are just going to stop watching TV. They're going to they'll subscribe to Netflix or something, you know?
You know how many? And then how about all the extra subscriptions that people have now? People subscribe to all these things. I think it's going to be a shocking reality to a lot of these companies that are on subscription-based services and even cell phone providers, you know, cable providers, cell phone providers, that people are spending. I mean, if you cut $500 a month and you're in a bad position, that $500 goes a very long way. And I don't think people, it's going to take a long time to go
people
back to it.
People weren't paying attention for a long time, but this year people are paying attention.
Listen, and you've had 8 years post, you know, let's, it's 8 years of how streaming media has boomed. 8 years of just bloat. You got Netflix because you need Netflix. Now you got Hulu Plus, and now you signed up for MLB. Now you signed up for NFL. You have the WWE Network. Now you got Peacock, and you got Disney Plus. You're going to have to make a cut somewhere. Right. And I feel that it's going to be many of them. That, you know, I don't know if you've noticed this, but Verizon, for example, is anticipating this with their bundles. So if you sign up for Verizon service, it bundles you with ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, and Hulu.
Interesting.
For Verizon.
It's funny. I didn't think this because of the money, but I was walking the dog this morning. I literally kind of daydreamed this. I imagined I was going to email the kids and say, because they're all, you know, sponging off of the services that I pay for, right? So I was going to say, hey, here's the list of TV services that we pay for currently. Netflix, Hulu, Amazon as part of Prime, Disney, whatever the list is.
Yeah.
Could you tell me which you want, list them in order of how often you watch them. Tell me if you never watch them and which of these could you absolutely not live without, you know?
For
and
me,
I bet Netflix will be number one, right?
For you to keep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I bet both of them will say, I watch Hulu occasionally. And I bet they will say, I never watch Disney ever. And I never watch, what was the other one I said? Prime, but I kind of get that as part of Prime, so whatever.
Okay. And then Peacock. Now you have Peacock.
I don't, but, and by the way, Peacock's free though, right? You could get Peacock for free if you wanted to.
You could.
That's interesting. I mean, I you know, I'm not at the point where I'm like, I literally have to get down to that level, but because, you know, when it comes down to it, we're talking like $10. I mean, I spend $10 when I go to Dunkin' Donuts once, you know, like whatever. But But yeah, those, but they, you know, they do add up. I mean, I think about it for sure, you know?
Yeah. It's going to continue. Like for me, I've gotten totally disconnected from mainstream content consumption. I watch baseball, and this season I've really watched way less than I've ever watched. I can't get into
this. This hasn't been a great year for us either.
I haven't watched much NBA this year because of all the stop and go, stuff going on.
I haven't watched any. It's like, do you pay for YouTube or
YouTube TV? Yeah. Pay for it.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you see
the news today about that, by the way?
No. What was it?
So they're adding the NFL Network for free, which is great, but they're also adding like a $10 sports bundle if you want to get, I don't remember what the other channels are, but they have a bunch of
2 years. This thing is going to be $100 a month.
I know.
And that's
it's going to be the same price you paid for cable, but there's no box in your house and no remote. You know,
listen, and some of it is out of their hands. It's really not up to them. It has to. Oh, do all with of the it licensing. Is out of their hands.
This thing would still be $35 a month if they could do it. Yeah.
Do you remember what was that company? Oh God, the company that got sued. They were based here in New York. They were just a bunch of antennas.
Yep.
What was it?
Yeah. Give me a second. I'm going to come up Avio? With this.
It's something with an A.
You're very close. It is something like that. Yeah, that's exactly what they did. It was like an over-the-air service.
Yeah, it was in Boston, and it was in New York and Philly. Aereo. Thank you, Chris, in the chat room.
Yeah, you go. Yeah,
Chris Langley.
Like I said, very close. Yep.
Aereo. And it was a great concept. It was over-the-air programming that was, you know, you had a DVR. You paid for the DVR. It was sitting in a warehouse. Everybody had, you know, antennas and stuff. So,
right.
But they got killed because of the licensing. This is why these cable providers... And I highly doubt, you know, whenever you see that warning, like, we're going to cut Viacom stations. Viacom, you're about to lose Viacom. Please write to Viacom. It has to do with licensing agreements.
Nobody gives a crap about Viacom until they hear what the stations are. Then they're like, whoa, hold on a second. What are you talking about? You know, like, so Viacom,
I don't know. I feel like we're in a rude awakening. But for me, I could cut all of cable, okay? 100% cut all the cable. I could cut Hulu. I could cut Netflix. If it was just me. Cut Disney Plus. And I would not bat an eye. All I do, honestly, I just have YouTube on, and I just watch content on YouTube. I've totally done this.
We've been watching Hulu a lot lately, but I would pick Netflix would be my choice, and I watch YouTube almost compulsively.
Yeah, I told my wife I want to cut all of it. I want to cut all of it. Like you guys kill 2 hours of TV, Paul in our chat room, right? Great example. We interfere in people's watching habits. We interfere in their TV consumption. We're killing 2 hours of people consuming television. If you only have 2 hours in that day to consume TV and you choose to watch Paul and I, which I thank you for, you're not going to watch. That's it. You don't need anything else. It really has become a reality. And plus, look at other services like Pluto TV and Plex. They're offering you TV.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I haven't had good success with it, but there's a service, I think it's called Local or something similar to Local, where it's just supposed to be local TV and it's streaming. It does ads and stuff, but my problem is sports and baseball. You get covered by the service. The NBA service is ridiculous. There's no version of an NBA service where you get to watch every playoff game. Like they don't even offer it. And then the NFL is an issue. Like I want to watch football this fall. So, you know, assuming it happens, but, other than that, I don't care about TV at all. Yeah. You know,
listen, I think I'll keep Netflix if I have to. I got Disney Plus for the kids, but it's free. I got it for free through Verizon. So it doesn't matter.
I should have paid for that for 2 months and given it up. Cause I blew through everything I wanted to watch. I don't care about it anymore. Although The Mandalorian, by the way, is supposed to be coming back at the end of next month.
But that's fine. You know what? You can sign up and cancel it again. That's all.
I think I'm going to – I'll just ride it out until that's over. Then I'll get rid of it. I would have done that differently. It wasn't expensive. I think that was probably why. But because I think I got like a year for $50 or some stupid thing like that. But
yeah.
I just don't watch it. Like it's just not.
Dude, there's so much going on in the world right now. People.
I know this sounds. All this sounds so unimportant.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Everything. It's so unimportant. But it's a reality, right? Because it is important when it's your pocket. It's very. It very much is a reality.
Oh, yeah. No, I meant the content doesn't seem important. It's like you sit in front of the TV and you're like, eh.
you know, into reality is the only thing I'm really watching on live programming is wrestling, and that's only because I got to do a show.
Yeah.
There are other ways to get the content if I wanted to. So I'm paying, you know, $70 a month so I could consume 3 shows a week. Does that make sense? It really doesn't. It really doesn't.
Right.
It's like I'm ordering a pay-per-view, you know? I'm paying $70 a month to get X amount of hours a week. There are ways around it. I think having the option of Pluto TV has totally taken out any concept of having to have TV.
I looked at Pluto TV, and it's expensive, too.
No, it's free. Yeah. Free.
What?
Yeah. Pluto TV is free. It's interesting how they do it. They have 250 channels.
What am I confusing this with? Yeah.
Obviously
it's going to be ad supported, but I
just like regular TV, right? You got ads. There's 250 channels. You don't pay a dime. The quality, some of them are HD, a lot of them aren't. And it's what they've done is it's actual networks. Like, let's say it's I'm trying to come up with a channel here that people would understand. Let's say it's Spike TV, right?
Yeah.
Spike TV, but however, it's not really. I know Spike doesn't exist anymore. It's Paramount, but they have a Spike TV version on this channel. So they're just airing Cops in reruns. Or if you have like AMC has Stories by AMC, which is on Pluto TV, and they're putting The Walking Dead. It's a couple years old. Some of them you have a Baywatch channel, you have a CSI channel, you have an American Gladiator channel.
I will just watch the Baywatch channel for the next 6 months.
For Hasselhoff.
I started watching Baywatch from the first season back in February. And the first season is not completely different, but it's quite different from seasons 2 through, you know, whatever. Some different characters and stuff. And it is, oh my God, it is the nadir of quality on TV. It is the absolute.
Guys, how much money can we raise for Paul to be wearing one of those very high cut red one pieces that they wear on the show and just you running?
In slow motion.
I really want that. I want that to happen. Like Pluto TV has Comedy Central, and they run marathons on there. It's a great, if you want just something on, that do it like that. Plex is also there. You don't really need a lot. Like Paula in our chat room. Great example of what Paula consumes. You and Brad, right? Lewis Rossman's channel, which Lewis Rossman's doing a bunch of stuff now. YouTube completely replaced TV for this person with supplemented with Netflix.
Right.
You don't. This is where we're at right now, and especially in 2021 when things are going to be a little tight. I don't know why anybody would consider $75 a month to get to watch 3 things.
Yeah. Well, I mean. I would do it. Like, I was thinking I would watch the second round of the NBA playoffs on, right? And that's going to cost me that's $70, you know? Well, and I mean, I guess I could, I don't know. It's so expensive.
Yeah.
But you can't watch, they don't have sports on this thing, do they?
They have old sports. They don't have new sports. Yeah. There's no current.
I mean, honestly, this looks pretty good. I got to say.
You got to try that, and the interface is great. I absolutely love it.
It looks good.
I went down a Unsolved Mysteries rabbit hole, and I just kept that Unsolved Mysteries channel on, and I just watch it for like 3-4 hours just in the background while I'm working. It's just, Unsolved Mysteries from the 80s and 90s.
I think from now on, I'm just going to leave the Baywatch channel on, like just running in the background.
Yeah, just do that.
just why not? Put it on a screen. If things are going wrong, I can just look up and.
That's it. And feel Mitch a little better about yourself, about your life.
All right,
guys. Time to wrap it up. If you're watching live, stay tuned. We're going to do a bonus show. We're going to do What the Talk following this. You can catch it on Patreon, patreon.com/whatthetech. Get our bonus material there. Also, if you want to check out what kind of stuff we do, look on the RSS feed. We put last week's What the Talk out on Friday last week. And a lot of positive feedback about this. A lot of people enjoyed it. So if you haven't checked it out, go check it out. I told a cool story about how this drunk guy lost his mind that owned my house, and it wasn't his fault. To sum it up. Fascinating story. It involves a nuclear bomb, if anybody's interested. Very vague description of that conversation. But you guys should check it out. For all things Paul, go to therock.com. You and Brad do a kick-ass job there each and every day, posting great stories, great articles. You guys do great coverage of everything happening in technology that I would like to hear and what many other people like to hear. Like right now, there's an article on there about, where did I lose it? Where did I lose that article? I wanted the headline. Microsoft appears to be rebranding Bing. We did not talk about this.
Yeah, it's not much.
What
there.
Are they doing? What are they doing?
It looks like they might be switching to Microsoft Bing from just Bing and using the Microsoft logo instead of the Bing logo, which is terrible.
Okay. Terrible. All right, guys. Remember, subscribe to us. We're everywhere podcasts are available. We're on our way to 10,000 subscribers here on YouTube. Huge milestone for us when we hit it. Maybe we'll do something special. But remember, please subscribe, like, subscribe, share, tell your friends, and we'll see you all next time. Take care.